Number 461, Oh, It Is Wonderful.
I tremble to know that for me.
faith has found a resting place.
Much. And before prayer, I'd like to again thank you for your prayers on behalf of my daughter. As you know, I arrived in Portland, Oregon, late on Tuesday after a work day in Oakland in the station. And it is a pleasure to be with the family, to be with the little ones, and to see my daughter. I have to take her on Wednesday home because it was not ready on Tuesday. But it was a great joy to see that little by little, it is improving. And all the tests were done and no cancer is found. My mother died of a tumor in the brain. They first had breast cancer and then went into the brain, but took about 50 years for that to develop. When I was born, my mother, the cancer developed, and at that time in the year 36, only cobalt treatment was the one, and the cobalt treatment put the cancer to sleep for 50 years, and we thank the Lord for that. And so my daughter is doing well. It will take a long time for recovery, the doctor said, perhaps a year for a full recovery, but within 6 weeks she will be able to function by herself. And I beg your prayers for Raquel. I say it and say it again. We only have one daughter, which was just a very simple lady who sit down and read a book. But we have three granddaughters. Two of them are the same. One of them already have a library of 500 books, and the other is growing into that, 40 years old. But the middle one is like Pastor Otero. So that takes a lot of work, all right? Great ingenuity, vibrating spirit, always moving, speak aloud. You know, and all these, and just a blessing of the Lord how different our children are. And grandma, poor grandma, who wants everything clean and neat, like we are the two at home, see? I had to take my shoes to walk in certain parts of the house. And pray for her, all right? I pray for her. Father, sometimes we, in our way of life, you put marks in our life. And in my life, this season, at the very beginning of the year, was the mark that my daughter will have a serious difficulty, and you took care of her. Involved the whole personality and life of my wife in helping, and involved my endurance and my patience. Involved your people here to pray, and people from Georgia all the way to Minnesota. People in Portland, Oregon, in the church of Lake Bible Church. And Laura took an army of people to provide food for 3 months as they projected in their church. It was for me a great honor to see people knocking the doors and bring the food of the day so that Raquel doesn't have to cook. All of this was done in love because they love each other like a family, just like our church is a family. Thank you, Father. The church is the family of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you that in moments of stress and in moments of difficulties, you are there. You never leave us. You never forsake us. And you give us a strength where places that we don't have, and patience from places that we don't have patience. And thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Once again, thank you for my daughter's recovery. Thank you for the doctors. Thank you for the hospitals, for the people that were involved in this. Thank you for this church whose understanding of what the pastor is going through. Thank you, Father. What can we do without Jesus? Well, we will be like the man in the cemetery that we learned today, defeated. But when Jesus comes into our life, we want to tell everybody, this is the life to have. This is the life to share. It is not a life without problems, but it's a life with Jesus in our heart. And the Bible said, greater is he that is in you than the one is in the world. And so thank you, Lord. The victory is ours, not because of ourselves, but because of Jesus. Now this morning we gather together to worship you, Lord. We already praise your name because your act of love and the gift of faith that you have given us, as we're going to study from Paul later on. And the choir is going to praise your name, God, again and again. And Father, the Bible is going to be read. And we know that Jesus said that your words are life and will touch the life of someone today. We pray, Father, that again and again someone will be free from the old life. We pray that the challenging message of the Church of Thessalonica will wake up some unbelievers to the reality that without Christ we are nothing. Thank you for the choir. Thank you for the people. Thank you for the deacons. Thank you for the ushers of the church. Lord, thank you for the building that we have and the location that we have. Thank you for the Spanish people that have come in our way, Lord. And we are learning the scripture together. And we are learning fast how great Jesus is. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for our country who is free. When we look up around the world, we are imperfect and we are in decay and we are going down. But Father, there are some places where things shine. And the place where things shine is the church of the living God. And so, Father, help us to be with other churches, the place where we have common sense here. We adore and love the God of heaven. The God that make us free, the Lord who created this nation and the face of the earth to tell others about Jesus, Lord and Savior. Bless us in this year of election, that we may have wisdom from above and how to choose the man that will lead us. Lord, bless our missionaries, wherever they are, in Ukraine, in northern Spain, in southern Spain, right here in Lodi, in the Christian Center to help people in moments of stress in Morgan Hill and in Gilroy. Thank you, Lord, for the provision of these missions. And Lord, thank you for the young man who challenged us to support him. And we hope that we can, by all means, endorse him and his work with young people and the busy city of San Jose, California. Now, Father, you provide for us every Sunday. Some of the deacons who are in charge of the accounting surprise themselves to see the abundance of your provision to us. And I'm surprised too, because it takes the effort of all of us to bring the ministry to the point in which we are so proud of a God who cares for us. Once again, we're going to bring this offering to you, and so we pray that you bless the giver and bless the offering. And Lord, I have the chance to pastor some people during this week, and the body of Christ is hurt. And I have a chance to sit down and listen and encourage them in thy word divine so that they may follow you. Lord, I cannot pastor all the churches of America. There is only one Gabriel. But I'm so glad that you told Elijah that there are 7,000 more like him. I'm not the only one in America. I'm just a tiny little bit, a little piece, a little ant in the beautiful kingdom of Jesus. So encourage those who are without church and those who listen to our tape ministry, to our broadcasts, to those who listen to the computer and the internet, to those who will see the videotape later on. Encourage them, oh God, to go to church. There is no perfect church. We are in it. One day will be perfect when the kings of kings will come and we will gather around him. Meanwhile, bless us with power that we may leave this place and the people around us may know this, that we have been with Jesus. Bless the offering, bless the giver. In Jesus' name, amen. My friends, this is Pastor Otero speaking to you from the church in Bethel Baptist Church. At this moment, we have the offertory. And in this offertory, we use the occasion to have the opportunity to be able to bring our offerings and tithes to the Lord. But in the meantime, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you about the beauty of our church, because Jesus is on it, and the burden that we have in our heart, because we want to care for you. So you have a need, call us, 778-2595. If you want to talk to the pastor and it's an emergency, you can call to 390, and area code always is 408-390-0998. Whether you call the church office or you call me directly, we will be glad to bring the comfort, the power, and the beauty of Jesus near to you. Meanwhile, thank you for listening. Keep on listening as we worship the Lord. Let's join the service in progress.
indeed his wounds have paid his wounds have paid our ransom. Thank you, choir. We ask you now to take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 873. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now when Timothy came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Blessed be the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we praise you and thank you for the mighty work of salvation that you have accomplished in the finished work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We come into your presence in his name. We will praise him always for his obedience, his sinless life, and the bearing of our sins in his own body on the cross, so that we who believe will not come into judgment that is coming, but have passed from death to life. We pray that we will learn from the apostle that we should love one another, and that when trouble comes, we will not be surprised, for we have not been promised a life without trouble, but we put all our trust in your sovereign care over our lives, now and forever. We pray now for your servant and our pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he brings the teaching from your word today, that you would bless his words to our ears, that we would be edified and seriously apply that word to our lives. If there be any that do not know you, who will be hearing your word preached today here and over the radio, we pray that you have prepared their hearts so that they might believe the gospel and that you would bring them to a knowledge of the truth and grant them eternal life. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, my brother. I want to advise the technical people. I want to use the lapel microphone, so I'm going to take this out so it don't make a noise. Once again, we are in the letter of the Apostle Paul to the church of Thessalonica. I was so glad I had 3 hours to kill in an airport, and I saw in a bookstore the old Greek New Testament and a nice binding, and nobody wanted it. I bought it for $9, who knows what, and so enriched my life. It's also portable. Usually my Greek New Testaments are so large, and they had a Hebrew and so on, and so I maybe mix some of the translations with you right away so that we enjoy the riches of God's Word. In 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul writes a letter to the church. And as you remember, in chapter 1, he gave the church words of commendation. They said, you are doing a great job, and I'm so glad to it. In chapter 2, last Sunday, we saw words and thoughts of reflection upon his ministry as a pastor. And it's so good for a pastor to think, I'm doing right. I'm doing wrong. What have I done right and what have I done wrong? And the Apostle Paul shows his integrity. Now in chapter 3 is what I call an ecclesiastical council. He counseled the church. Ecclesiastical means from a church point of view. If you want to be a great church, and you notice that numbers were not mentioned. If you're going to be a great church, there are two basic ingredients that the church must have. And he divided the thoughts in two sections. And I was surprised that the Greek also divided the paragraph in two sections. One, he said, if you want to be a church use of God, you need to have a strong faith. And we're going to find out what a strong faith is. And then, also he said, you have to, must have the church, a dynamic love. A love that as the years go by, increases and increases and increases. Now, you have to understand this. The church of Thessalonica and the church of Lyconia and the churches in Asia Minor, people do not have the facility that you and I have, get a car and move, or get a job in Italy, or get a job in Egypt. They were born in the area and die in the area. Perhaps they were born in the same house that they die. That happened to my grandparents 70, 80 years ago. They don't have the ability to say, well, my child is going to study in New York and my other child is in Texas. They don't have that facility. So it's easy then for that church, was easy to grow in love because they have the same people and they had no choice. They had to grow in love and they had to love each other because they have the same people for a lifetime. So that is a sociological understanding. But let's go verse by verse and see what the apostle have in mind. In verses 1 to 10, he said, the church must have a very strong faith. Now, there is an introduction there, verses 1 and 2. He said, wherefore, or he is using a word to indicate, finally, my brethren, when we could no longer forbear, when we could no longer stand, we miss you so bad, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. And he said, I want to stay alone here in Athens. I miss you so much. I want to know what you're doing. And this is what I did. And look at verse 2, what he did. He said, and send Timothy, our brother and minister of God. Now that word minister today is a pastor with a collar and so on. Minister means a servant. I send you Timothy, he said, our brother. So he was a believer and a servant of God to visit with you. And he was a co-worker with the Apostle Paul and a co-worker with God. You see, he said, our fellow laborer, a co-worker in the gospel of Christ. And he sent it with the idea to establish, as said the King James, the original, give a little strength, he said, to strengthen you, to give you a strong standing in the things of God. So I send him to you. Now comes the message of the Apostle Paul, the ecclesiastical counsel to the church. You must have a strong faith if you're going to survive as a church. You must have a dynamic love that in spite of yourself, you love each other and you care for each other. Let's talk about the strong faith. Now, in verses 3 to 5, a strong faith is a faith that is not moved by afflictions. Look at in verse 3. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. And so the word affliction, the word move in the original is a strong word, means you should not be disturbed. said, and to keep you from becoming disturbed for the troubles you are going through. That would be the proper translation, raw translation in the original. Listen, people of God, he said, I want you to know this, that I don't want anybody to be disturbed, move away from the gospel because of the troubles you are going through. Do you live your life without trouble? Raise your hand, please. So those who have no trouble whatsoever. All right? You see, Anthony, of course, he can do it. Mom and Papa had the trouble. But you see what the apostle is saying? I want you to know that afflictions and troubles are coming in our way, and I want you to stand strong in that. So let's see what kind of affliction he talks about. To begin with, if you look in chapter 2 and in verse 3, there was an attack against the pastor of the church. You study about Satan today in Sunday school, and you know how smart he is. And the first thing that Satan does is to attack the pastor of the church. They attack the apostle Paul, so they're going to attack me too. They say that Paul was not credible, that he was not a man of integrity, things like that. Look at in chapter 2 and in verse 3. For our exhortation was not of deceit, remember? Nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. When I talk to you, said the Apostle Paul, I talk to you not to fool you, not to really lie upon you, not to look for money from you, uncleanness, not for this. I talk to you. Why did he say that in chapter 2? Remember that we learned it. He said it because there were some rumors, and that's how Satan works in the church. By rumors. There were some rumors. Oh, the pastor only looks for money. He drives a nice GT. All right? I don't know if Paul drove a GT, but I drive a GT. Pastor Van Dyken drives a Porsche. You know, is he after money or what? You know, each of us have a weakness and something that we like on it. All right? And people use that to criticize the pastor. And so the apostle said in verse 3 in chapter 2, listen, I don't fool you. I don't went after your money. Come on. And so there was an attack. There was a trouble. The church is in trouble when the pastor is attacked. Then also there was mockery, ridicule, and even cursing and verbal attack against Christ. There were some people who infiltrated the church and said that Christ is not the Messiah. And always there are people who comes in, and if the pastor is not a strong teacher and a dynamic personality to cope and stop it, people will come in and tell you that tongues are a gift of God, for example. Not to blame those who speak in tongues, but just to pick something. Or that you can have a revelation other than the scripture. People will come in like that. What's wrong? I talked to a person who belonged to a Baptist church in Lake Oswego, way up in Portland, and said, what's wrong to have an extra revelation? What's wrong? The Bible said, it's close. It's close. See, always, and the church is on the attack in that way. As you learn today, very smooth, like an angel of light, Satan moves. And so the church was under attack. There was a direct confrontation and opposition. Look at it in chapter 2 of Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 16. Forbidding us, these people, forbidden us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sin always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. And so in verse 16, the apostle in chapter 2 is saying, trying to keep us from preaching, caruso, from preaching the good gospel. Oh, there are people like that. If you said, we saw today in the lesson in the Spanish class, God electing this fellow. The presence of Jesus alone knocked him off. We call that in a Spanish class, gracia irresistible, irresistible grace.
And nobody argued with me. It was great, great class. You know, nobody argued with me. He said, no, you are wrong. Because we saw it right there. Jesus standing before the man. And the man said, don't touch me. Don't, you know, the demons were speaking. Irresistible grace. And some people, you know, they say, oh, that's never happened. That's a Calvinist story or Augustinian story. I went with a class in the history of the church a little bit. This is not the story of Augustine. This church is not the story of Calvin. This church is the story of Christ in the Bible. And that's what it is. And so there was that pressure, see, confrontation and opposition. And there was physical abuse. Let's go. Put one hand in Thessalonians and go with me to, don't be afraid of this Bible. It's a moving Bible. It's more like yours. Acts chapter 17. Let's go to Acts chapter 17. All right. And look at what happened in Acts chapter 17. In verses 5 and in verse 6. Acts 17, verse 5 and verse 6. But the Jew, and the Jew supposed to be the believers, which believe not, moved with envy, took unto them certain fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And verse 6, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers, unto the police. These that have turned the wall upside down are coming here. They were against Paul for preaching the gospel. And so there was a physical opposition. We don't have that. I don't know any place in the United States where the police will come to the church and say, you cannot preach the gospel. I really don't know. I don't know. You maybe know. But so far, I really don't have any reference in any place in the United States where we have that kind of opposition. We have people leaving the church because... maybe they don't like what they hear, but we don't have a police opposition. And so there was that kind of thing. Now, against that kind of trouble, look again in Thessalonians in chapter 3 and in verse 3, what the apostle really is saying. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 3. Look at what the apostle really is counseling them. And to keep you from becoming disturbed by the troubles you were going through. In other words, don't move because of the troubles that you are going through, he said. So Paul is saying, despite the shameful treatment and the savage attacks, the believer is not to be moved away from Christ. Don't move from Christ. Stand still. If you know that what you believe is Christ, doesn't matter if everybody gets in trouble. You just stand still. When the attacks are so severe, savage, how can a believer keep on from being moved? When you have such an opposition, how can you stand still? There are two things that he tells us here that you must do. Number one, look at verse 3 again. The believer must know that you and I are to hit opposition. Look at verse 3. For yourself know that we are, what word he used? Appointed. There unto, verse 4, for verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer, what word he used? Tribulation. That's the highest degree of opposition. Even as it came to pass, and ye know. The apostle is using proper words. It's so much, it's just a copy from the original. I cannot improve it. It's just fantastic. The apostle is very, you were warned by me because of the troubles coming on, and you did so well and no listening to them. And so the believer must know that when trouble comes in your way, this is not something exceptional. Sometimes we said, Lord, why me? Don't we? It's not natural. It's not something that our heart would cry and say, Lord, why me? I have to say, Lord, give me all the sufferings of my daughter to me. And God said, Gabriel, you're no God. I'm God. You suffer more by hitting your daughter than by touching you. So I know what I'm doing. See, God knows what he's doing. But we need to know that we are appointed. You see the word? Those words are true to the original. Appointed to opposition. So tomorrow morning when you get in trouble and when you think you have all the answers and trouble comes on the way, you know that you're a believer and you're appointed to opposition. Now, number two, the believer must know that the temptation to cave in to persecution is not of God, is of Satan. The temptation to cave in and drop few things and you know, is not of God, of Satan. Somebody asked me, say, you're still working hard for the Lord? I say, yes. Before I came here, I did 15 sermons on Tuesday morning. I'm on April 15 already. From the study broadcast, I had to do 4 television sets. And then I had to prepare 4 sermons for the church, and then I'm here. He said, don't work so hard. Look at the counsel. Now, this believer means well. But he's saying to a pastor, please don't study so much. Come on, wake up. I'm still young. I can do 200 push-ups like nothing, so why can't I study? Come on. Don't give up. Don't give up. I was this morning at 5 o'clock. I'm terrible. You know, I do 20 minutes, 260 pounds going up, and then 200 push-ups, and I'm here running. And I study all of this. It doesn't hurt me. Come on. But the opposition is always like that. And we need to know that the believer, the temptation to cave in is not the counsel of God, is the counsel of Satan. Satan is the one who doesn't want you to serve the Lord. I want you to know that. Satan is the one who said, you need rest. You need rest. And people tell me, oh, you're going to get hurt. When you get older, you're going to be, they think I'm not older, I'm 64. So when you get older, you're going to be like an old man. Well, they're supposed to, you know. What is new? When you get older, you're going to be like an old man. So you're going to be walking with a cane. Not for the brain, you study with the brain. I never saw a brain with a cane like that. Come on. People lose their mind. Satan, you saw the gathering today. I thought that the whole city will say, oh, we want you, Jesus. What they said to Jesus, remember? Verse 16, 17, get out of here. Get out of here. See, we have to be careful that we believers don't get entangled with the thoughts of Satan. So a strong faith is a faith that doesn't move because of affliction. You know, if I get tired one day, real tired, you know how to get cured? You go to bed for 8 hours. You unplug the phones. I turn on the football soccer game and I go to sleep. Beautiful. A strong faith is a faith that doesn't move. Be sure that what you do is of God. Sunday school teachers, you have the hardest work than me. You have to work for your family 8 hours a day or 10 hours a day. And then you have to prepare the lesson and come here to teach it. That's a hard work. And you don't say, well, it's too much. Come on. It's beautiful. Strong faith is a faith that even though people are trying to put trouble, you stay on. And a strong faith is a faith that gives for an excellent testimony. Look at verse 6. Go back to Thessalonians 3 and verse 6. And a strong faith is a faith that gives an excellent testimony. But now when Timothy came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. He was encouraged. A strong faith is a faith that has a great testimony. The believers were standing fast in their faith. Look at verse 7 and verse 8. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted, encouraged over you and all your afflictions and distress by your faith. For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. In other words, the apostle is saying, man, oh man, you make my day because you are standing fast in the Lord. And so that's what he's saying. The believer then, standing fast in Christ is a testimony. Then
The believer would stand fast also in love. Verse 6 said clearly, your faith and charity, said the King James, using the word agape as the key word for love. You're standing in love. You don't lose that flavor of loving each other. And then the believer also remember their pastor. He was so happy. Look in verse 6 again. And ye have good remembrance of us. And I tell you, this is a strong faith. It's a great testimony. And the testimony is that they are standing fast in their faith. They have no change in their doctrine to become popular. Some people say, if you don't read the King James Version, you get more people in church. No, sir, I'm not trying to get more people in church. I'm trying to tell you the truth. And the truth is right here in this Holy King James Version. I really love it. And then they said the believers were standing fast in love. That means they love each other. Russell keeps saying to us when he goes away, I came to the family. We're a family. Bob said, love the brethren. It's a family. Imperfect family, as we talk in the Spanish class. I said to the Spanish class, raise your hand those who are perfect. You know, nobody raised a hand. And if I said to you, raise your hand if you are perfect, nobody's going to raise a hand. But we're a family. The believers also remember their pastor. You remember me well, and I'm just grateful. That speaks of the testimony of the church. Then a strong faith is a faith that stirs the heart of this pastor. And verse 7 said, therefore, brethren, we were encouraged. That word comfort is better. Encouraged over you. In other words, when you hear that the people of God are doing well, and in spite of their difficulties, the pastor gets encouraged because he sees that the word of God is making an inlet in your life. See, actually, you know who is your counselor? This little book called the Bible. And once you learn to look in the Bible for counseling, you got the best counselor ever. Millions and millions of times better than this pastor. He's just trying to find where they are. And so I may be use of God to let you know where it is. But the counselor is God. And so the pastor is encouraged when the congregation said, you know, pastor, we were in trouble here and here, but we read in the word here and we were encouraged. Oh, my heart relaxed. Now you got the remedy. Wherever you go, you got a counselor with you if you carry the Bible with you. All right? Now, and a strong faith is a faith that stirs the hearts of their pastor because the pastor is encouraged when you are encouraged. The strong faith of the Thessalonians renew the life of their pastor. Look at verse 8. For now we leave, said the apostle. Let me take a peek on the original, if I can improve just a little bit that section. It gave us new life. Now we leave, new life, knowing you remain strong in the Lord. In other words, we may be tired, we may be exhausted, we may be, you know, Paul is not a young fellow anymore, and is at the end of his ministry, but now I have a new life, he said, to know that you are encouraged. See, it's not how many hours the pastor sleeps that make him strong. I want you to know that. It's how you grow in the Lord that makes the pastor restful. I can sleep for hours. 5 hours. Come on, if I play soccer and only sleep 2 hours and went from town to town, I can still sleep in 4 hours and preach over and over and over again. All right? But what is this courage to the pastor? It's when the believers do not catch up with Christ. When in spite of being teaching and teaching, you don't get a click on it. But when you get the click on it, and when you love the Word of God, and when you stand with the Word of God, you have to see these deacons, how they stand with this pastor glued to me. I listened to a pastor last week who was crying over a cup of coffee about the problem with his deacons. I smile, I don't say anything. He said, you know, I don't want to discourage him. Of course, there were many deacons. There were 80 deacons, and it's very hard to manage your 80 deacons. But if the 80 deacons were managed by the Holy Spirit, there will be unity. As a pastor, I only want to give you one thing. I make a problem when I want to do something on my own. But when we all, the deacons and the pastors, want to have a unanimous decision, really works. And don't call anybody to make it unanimous. Just drop the bomb
go home and push the button, see if it blows. If not, just put another bomb. You don't worry about it. She said, but I want this way. Yes, you are like me. I want this way. But there are more wise people there in the church that can help you and me to do it God's way. You think God can use anybody? Yes, well, then let it use. See, and so the Apostle Paul said in verse 8, I have a new life. I see the you people doing well. Verse 9, and a strong faith stir joy in the life of a pastor. For what thanks can we render to God? Again, for you, for all the joy wherein we joy for your sake. The apostle joy is not a new building of Thessalonians. They had no building. They met in their homes, and we have a building. Somebody told me, he said, I cannot go to your church anymore because you have trailers. What does that mean? So your last name is Spanish, don't you? I guess so. It's not Oterowski, it's Otero. What does this have to do with the gospel? You know, the pastor has to have a nice humor, otherwise you go crazy. And never feel personally offended. Otherwise you punch the guy in the nose and you lost the ministry. See, and this is what the apostle said, what a joy. The only thing is some once in a while my pride comes out and says, but the trailers are paid. See? And they caught their attention. Whoop. They are all paid. See? The land you walk in is paid. And I smile, you know. How do they do that? I don't know. It's paid. That's it. See, it's a joy to be simple, don't we? It's joy. One man said, people ready to build? Oh, I guess so. I said, I hear rumors from the chairman that we are in a battle for maybe getting something. And what are you going to build? Cathedral. See, the cathedral is you. You are the cathedral. See, the word cathedral means the one who were separated. It's a Latin word, cateris, the one who were nucleus round. And later on, the word was changed for a building, but never was a building. St. Augustine, the father of the Catholic Church, believed in believers only and not in the building. He never preached in a building. He preached around the streets and so on because he preached to the cathedral, he said in Latin, to the people that were catharized and moved by God and put together. So the joy of the pastor is his people. And so he rejoices. So in a strong faith, it's a faith that is not moved by affliction. It's a faith that gives an excellent testimony. It's a faith that encourages the pastor. Now what about love? Okay, verses 11 all the way to 13. Paul prayed that the Lord will make them increase in love. Look at this. Night, verse 10, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now, God himself, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way unto you. And the Lord, he is praying, make you increase and abound in money. No! That's what people pray. Oh, God, give us a new job and give me an increase. I met people, young people, Danny's class, you know, it's 550 people in their Sunday school class. And it's a good class. And I went over there and I want to meet with all of them. And I want to thank them. Every day, there is plenty of food. Plenty of food. Every day, and he said, for 3 months, we're going to provide food for your daughter. I said, you know, this is speak of this class. Somebody is teaching the class right because of your love. Because of your love. That's what, may you increase in love. See, one toward another. Love the brethren, said Peter. Love the brethren. You know, more you get close to me, more you see my imperfections. More I get close to you, I see your imperfections. But we don't dwell in imperfections. We dwell in the perfection of Christ. I asked the Spanish class, how was the man dressed before he met Christ? Well, the Bible doesn't say, but in verse 15 in Mark 5, it said that now he's dressed up. So he was nude. So we were nude before God with all our bad habits of life. We went to Galatians 5, 19 to 21. With all the garbage of the world, we were just, when God looked to us, he saw a nude person, ugly. But then, when Christ saved the man, he put a robe of righteousness. And that's what happened. We still have the old life. We still have the old habits. But when God looks to me, he looks to me through the robe of righteousness. Let's look at each other like that. We are saved, so we share our love. Paul prayed that the Lord will make them to increase in love. No money, no new job, no new building. And Paul prayed that the Lord, through love, will establish their heart. Look at verse 13. To the end, he may establish your heart. Now, as a result, we can say, the word end is the word result. Let me see if I can translate this. As a result, Christ will make your heart strong. That's what that means. Use the word strong. As a result, the God will make your heart strong. To the end, the God will make your heart strong, unblameable. You know, if you're a Christian, God will not blame you for anything. You know why? Because he blamed Christ. He put all your sins on Christ. The past sin, the present sin, and the future sin. And so we need to lock each other in that way. And so that's what the apostle said in verse 13. To the end that he may establish your heart unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all the saints. And so in a strong faith, in a strong love, is a love that is rich, is powerful, doesn't dwell in our mistakes. God asks to love the unattractable. God asks to love the ugly. God asks to love the orphan. Who's an orphan? Somebody who lost his parents. You know, when we are unbelievers, we're orphans. We have no parents in heaven. God asks to love the sick. Some of the unbelievers are really sick. Really sick. Love asks to love the enemy. Never speak against somebody who spoke against you. I have been brought in a situation very difficult 2 years ago. And the board of directors called me, and I said, well, let's see what they said now. He said, we want to thank you because you never spoke against anybody. Oh, there's no room. I have enough time. I want to know Jesus. And in knowing Jesus, I see my imperfections. And my wife put up with my imperfections, and I hope you do too. And I put up with your imperfections. And we only share love, the love of God. The greatest result of love is to be presented unblameable before God. And what the apostle said in verse 13, look at the end of verse 13. He said, no, now, you are not unblameable now. When are you going to be unblameable? At the coming of Christ. At the coming of Christ, some people think that you, I was taught in the seminary, that a big TV is going to be in heaven. TV in heaven, Christ. And it's going to be a TV in heaven. And then my life is going to be there. Well, I will say immediately to the Lord, kill me. Do you want your life over there? All the secret things of your life right there in the TV, and we all watch it. Oh, you get sick. You know, the professor is crazy. He thought that you ought to be judged. You know, I've already been judged. Jesus died in the Gentiles' court. And Pilate judged him for me, not for him. We have a high priest with no sin. See? It's so beautiful. My brother, relax. When you go to the presence of God or when God comes in, he's not going to see your sins. He's going to see the glory of the righteousness of God in spite of yourself. Oh, wow. That's exciting. And so he wants the church to be excited. So what we must do as a church, what can we do as a church? Number one, the fact that you are in Christ is not enough. We need to love each other. We need to increase in love. And when the storms of life come, and when the storms of things come, and when problems comes, and difficulty comes, rather than criticizing each other, people say, is the board of directors going to do right in choosing the proper line? And maybe right, maybe wrong. So what? Hey, no big deal. We are in this world, but we're looking to what? We look into Christ. Look at the very last verse in that First Thessalonian. It's just a beauty. As a result, Christ will make your heart strong, unblameable or blameless, holy.
When you stand before God, you see the timing? When you stand before God, at the coming of Christ, said the King James. When you come before God, when you come in the presence of God, your heart will be unblameable. And nobody, this Satan that we studied today in Sunday school, this rascal, cannot go into heaven and say, oh, I remember Gabriel did this. No. There will be a glorious manifestation of the power of Christ. Christians, get a big picture of Christ. You will be ahead. Thank you, Father, for the counsel of the apostle to the church. He told the church to look upon Christ, because in his righteousness and in his glory we stand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Meanwhile, help us to have a strong faith that doesn't move because of circumstances. And help us to have a love that increases for one another in spite of ourselves. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Loved with everlasting love, led by grace that love to know, Spirit breathing from above, Thou hast taught me it is so. Oh, this full and perfect peace, oh, this transport, all divine, in a love which cannot cease, I am his and he is mine. In a love which cannot cease, I am his and he is mine. He is forever. Of bliss, Christ can fill the loving heart. Heaven and earth may fade and flee, firstborn light in gloom decline, but while God and I shall be, I am his and he is mine. But while God
service. I want to remind you again, at 3 o'clock, but 3 o'clock, we start all over again, and the young people will have an exam on James 1, I guess, and then we're going to have fun. 1 hour study and 1 hour of fun, secret, but it's good. And the children's church, the choir practice, Pacific Hill, our brother Russ is over there here, and so, oh, Brother Jovi, I guess, today. So make your way in the afternoon at 5 o'clock, the lecture on Acts chapter 5, a very dramatic moment of the church. Somebody died because they did not give a good offering. Is that right? You will see it, what happened with the offering in the church. Some people take it very lightly, but this is a good lesson to the church. And I love to see the church feel. You Spanish people had to get 100 quickly. And no, fantastic, the Lord has blessed us with brothers and sisters who love the scripture. And I want to tell you, once again, our church is blessed because of you. You have encouraged our church and blessed. Thank you, Carlitos, for all your efforts, and Marcela, and all Sanchez, and all you people. I've been encouraged, like the scripture said.
to see your faithfulness and your desire to learn. But Lord, we're in love with each other and in love with you. We have learned today that in spite of difficulties, and we see, I read the papers and I see crazy things, but in spite of that, you are greater than the difficulties. So help me never to change the message and never to change the word. And help us to love each other in spite of ourselves. And when all is done, we're going to say, thank you, Lord, for saving our soul. In Jesus' name, amen.